WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. As Republicans threaten to withhold federal money from sanctuary cities, mayors like Chicago's Brandon Johnson are defending their status at a House hearing.
Any actions that amplify fears of deportations make Chicago more dangerous. Those fears cause witnesses and victims to avoid cooperating with police.
A fierce storm system is cutting through much of the east with strong winds. This woman's Louisiana home suffered damage.
I was actually in the tub praying and saying, Lord, don't let anybody be harmed. Don't let anybody lose their lives.
Two deaths reported in Mississippi. 76% in a CBS News poll of mainly Republican viewers approve of what they heard from President Trump in his speech to Congress last night. CBS's Vicki Barker.
Asked to choose which words best described how the speech made them feel, 68% said hopeful, 54% said proud, 27% worried, 16% angry.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is calling for increased funding for staffing at the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratories. On Tuesday, Attorney General Call and a group of state legislators called for $2.7 million of the state budget to hire for an additional 19 positions in the labs. There are just three crime labs across the state to cover the forensic evidence needs of law enforcement authorities in 72 counties. Officials say they've seen long backlogs in processing evidence, causing lengthy delays in court proceedings for serious cases. State Democrats have introduced legislation to ban the use of algorithms and artificial intelligence to raise rent prices in Wisconsin. The bill was introduced by State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Breanne Brown in an effort to slow rapidly rising housing costs in the state. A Department of Justice lawsuit claims landlords have used those programs to unfairly increase rent prices and say it violates antitrust laws. Wisconsin did not join that multi-state lawsuit, but has seen one of the sharpest housing cost increases in the country. An Eau Claire woman was sentenced to a year in federal prison this week after not paying federal employment taxes for years. According to a press release from the Department of Justice, Dina Hintz owned and operated Jade Excavation and Trucking for nearly 10 years. Between 2017 and 2021, she deducted over $400,000 in federal employment taxes from the company's payroll, but did not actually pay the taxes and kept the money. She was also ordered to pay nearly $500,000 in restitution. City of Menominee officials say they are now accepting nominations for their 2025 Forestry Friends Award. The award is meant to honor community members who go above and beyond to protect the local environment, as well as promoting the city's commitment to urban forestry. Nominations for the award will be accepted until March 12th, and the winner will be presented with the award at an Arbor Day celebration. Last year's award recognized a high school student who worked to remove invasive plants from Galloway Creek. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks with a win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hawks 127-121. Atlanta had the lead midway through the game. Doc Rivers asked about what he didn't like about the Bucks defense in the first half.
I just thought they got in transition early. They made two or three threes off our missed layups. So second half, I thought we were way better. First half, I didn't think. We showed video at halftime where first three steps we were jogging, they were running by us. Second half, we didn't do that, and we took that away from them.
College hoops. It's the Badgers at Minnesota tonight in the border battle. Marquette on the road at UConn. The Packers re-signing their free agents. First, it was linebacker Isaiah McDuffie. Now, kicker Brandon McManus gets a three-year deal worth $15 million, $5 million guaranteed.
You know, I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity. I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
That's kicker Brandon McManus with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A winter storm warning is in effect until 3 o'clock. With snow winding down this afternoon, the winds are whipping, gusting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures tonight down to the teens. It's also blowing and drifting some of that snow around, making it hard to see. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are talking all things legal with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. He joins us at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fantastic producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. On the board, it is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Haunted!
Whoa, the camel was in a cavern, apparently. That's the only person left in Statutory Hall in the U.S. Capitol, a camel. That's why we have the reverberation. Great to have you along with us. Big show today coming up in hour two. A timely what's worse indeed, dealing with slippery roads or slippery people. We'll talk about that in hour number two, and as well as preview the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball game. They're back in action tonight against the Minnesota Golden Gophers up in the barn in Minneapolis, and a big game for the Badgers as they continue to try to get that quest, a first-round game in Milwaukee that was helped last night as Iowa State lost to BYU in double overtime down at Iowa last night. That helps the Badgers. We'll explain a little bit more later. Trivi Olson from the Lincoln Project is going to grace us with his presence when he is off a call, but always on time, like a Rolex clock. You could count on him. The host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, Patrick J. Kreitlow. Patrick, how are you?
I'm sorry. I have to take an important call over here. La-di-da.
All right. Yeah.
Now I'm sure he's saving another country from, right. You know,
our own as it turns out.
Yeah, it just might be. You know, who knew that all that overseas experience in helping establish and preserve democracies would someday come in handy here? But here we are.
Is it snowing up? It's downtown Madison. We have a little, I'll call it slightly more than a skiff of snow. Certainly enough to track a cat.
No, it has moved on from here in beautiful Chippewa Falls.
Oh, there you go.
look at those wet streets there in Madison on the little live feed right now.
Yep.
And no, it has moved out of us. And I guess talking to my wife, who's working up in Rice Lake, she estimated about 10 inches of snow there.
Whoa.
With only about 2 inches here in Chippewa Falls, apparently. Somebody was showing off, you know, how sometimes with storms there's what's called a dry slot, you know, or dry space on the radar. Apparently we were the donut hole for that, so I'm very thankful not to have to go out and push this stuff because, well, mostly it's blowing away as we speak. It is super windy out there. And, you know, the temperatures the next few days will take care of the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a snowy day in some parts of Wisconsin. I know some school districts have called off classes, a precautionary. I think part of the problem, but part of the challenge for these school districts is in some places, most places, this started as a rain event or less than all snow, and then that freezes, and you get snow, and then it turns into ice. So, you know, better just to hold off a little bit and have people work from home or teach from home. I know many school districts now doing that. Be careful out there if you're on the roadways. You can check out 511wi.gov. If you want to see the road conditions around where you are at. Pat, I think we have to at least spend a couple of minutes on this. The big speech last night by the Trumpster was not technically a State of the State event. It was just a presidential address. It went on for around 2 hours with applause last night. I managed to stay up for the entire thing. I was very proud of myself after having a couple of beverages to help get through it. Were you tucked away in bed last night by the time I got over?
Long gone by that time. Caught just the first little bit of it, just to make sure that nothing much happened in the early going, other than the one congressman, you know, raising a ruckus and being escorted out. But other than that, it was a campaign speech. And the thing that I said this morning is that I feel like it's just like this new tradition that the winning team gets to deliver their campaign address one more time, and the losing team has to sit there and listen to it. And that's it. It was a campaign speech. It's done. We move on. You know, there's other things in the real world. But what concerned me about this speech, young Mr. Alba, is your reaction, because again, it may have been, perhaps placated by the aforementioned beverages that you were enjoying. But what I'm not hearing from you is what I heard after the State of the State, which I am going to back away from the microphone just a little bit here to capture the way that Mr. Alba reacted to the State of the State address. That was just a terrible speech. Does Tony Evers need me? I will go work for the governor. How can you call that a speech?
It's pretty much
something
what I
like
said.
That, I believe.
Pretty much verbatim.
And I'm not hearing anything like that from Donald Trump. So I guess I know what you prefer in public speaking.
I wanted to give you the first kick at the cat. I thought that as far as like factual, we have a couple of cuts here to talk about that. As far as factuality, and truth, certainly.
That's funny. That's adorable that you're even talking about that. Okay.
What?
Sure, go ahead.
What?
It just goes without saying. It's just one lie after another. But sure, let's go ahead and talk about less time to cover what was actually fact-based?
The reason I think we should talk about this is because, as Zomers has pointed out before, so many of these speeches, it's all about getting cut up and put on TikTok and socials and all these things, and people only hear snippets, and then this goes on to social media, and then this becomes people's truth. And that's how people develop that's what it is. And so I think it's good to point out some of these things and bring truth to it. So hopefully people will be like, well, okay, I guess that part at least wasn't true. I thought obviously as far as facts, as far as truth, it was severely lacking, if there was any truth at all, not much of it. But I will say this, just purely from the goal of what I said, getting things on TikTok, social media, getting a message out there, I would say the Trump speech was much better than the Evers speech that way.
Yeah, I don't think Governor Evers had social media in mind when he was delivering this speech. Well, it's a speech that deals with policy and what does he want to get done. And he did that, and he did it without, you know, necessarily thinking of TikTok. Yes, I will grant you that.
I'm not here to beat up on Tony Evers. I'm just saying I don't think the people around
him think
I'm
here to bait
that.
You into beating up on Tony Evers.
I know
I can do that with you sometimes.
You like that when I get riled up.
Just a little.
No, I mean, I thought it was effective having the people in the gallery and telling stories about people. You know, again, maybe some of those stories were not quite true, but the optics, you know, were there.
Can I just say about going up to the gallery for people? I was there, not there physically, but I was alive and cognizant the first time that Ronald Reagan did something like this, and people going, "Ooh, that was different." Rather than just delivering a speech, he actually called out somebody that he had in the gallery as a guest. Well, that's a very novel thing for this actor turned president to do. Little did we know that all these decades later, if you were to ever give a speech and not do that, people would consider you an absolute failure. So now it's like, how many do you do? Do you do two? Do you do five? Do you do seven? How many did Trump do it? He did a lot in there. Always looking for the gratuitous applause lines, and you know, hoping to bait the other side of the chamber into going, how do you not stand up for a kid? How do you not stand up for a kid in the gallery? Well, the same way the Republicans in Madison didn't stand up for Mrs. Evers. You know, it's
sure. No, I agree with that part. That I mean, now thanks to. You hate this when I say this, but now thanks to both sides, now decorum is dead and it doesn't matter. And, you know, I think it was a mistake last night for the guy from Texas to stand up and throw the fit. And I support Johnson for throwing him out because he gave him a warning. And I mean, when my former boss, Dale Schultz, was Senate Majority Leader, you were a former state senator. I mean, he sat down with Judy Robson, the Democratic leader, before these types of things and said, here's how it's going to run. He brought Rob Marchant, the Senate Chief Clerk, in and said, Rob, is this the rule of the body? Yes, it is. We're going to enforce that. And I'm not a Mike Johnson fan, but, you know, if you were given a warning and you don't follow the rules of the chamber, that's it. And I think it was a mistake last night for that guy to do that. I think it was a mistake for Democrats to bring in the signs. But I also think it was a terrible mistake for what Republicans and Robin Voss did, not standing up for the First Lady of Wisconsin and for not standing up and supporting a family who lost a kid to cancer or whatever. What is in Wisconsin? So I think to your point, it's just that's dead now.
And I would say that for the congressman who stood up and was escorted out, he knew what he was doing. Yes. That was going to be his form of protest. And he has done, shall we say, stunts like that in the past, to which other Democrats go, oh, see, now you're just making Mike Johnson look tough. Trust me, this is the Will Rogers side of the Democratic Party, where people go, I do not belong to an organized party. I'm a Democrat, which means there's always going to be somebody that's going to want to go, you know, maverick. And that's exactly what this guy did. And, you know, if nothing else, it helped Mike Johnson look strong as speaker. But it also, frankly, showed when you saw that shot looking down the aisle of, you know, of the sergeant of arms, the couple of guys. I mean, they look like thugs, you know, just these goons going down the aisle, getting set to pummel this older gentleman. So the optics weren't fantastic either for a side that gets accused of looking a little authoritarian, shall we say. So all around, everything that we've talked about for the past 11 minutes has been performative. If we get to the substance of it all, again, we've got a campaign speech and a whole lot of stuff happening in the real world that, thank God, Trygve Olson is out there saving us from.
Who joins us via the StreamYard now from Washington's Capitol.
Sorry, I'm late, boys. I was on a call about all of this debacle.
I know you
debacle.
Were. I appreciate it.
We know.
Time out. Do we have time to play the cut on the mice yet? Or we're out of that? No, not yet. Not really. Okay, go ahead, Trygve.
I would just say, you know, I have my seven rules of dealing with autocrats to the point that you guys were talking about. Rule number four, don't hand the other side battering rams with which to beat you. The unfortunate thing about him doing what he did is he gave little Johnson an opportunity to have a battering ram with which to beat them.
Yes.
Yeah, that was true. That was
an unfortunate
part.
That is the problem. I said to my kids who were watching the speech with me, I'm like, that's not going to go over how he thinks it's going to go over.
Right. Correct.
Yeah, that's 100%. Other than the base who wanted to see that. And I get it. I mean, I as much as I can, not being a Democrat, I try to have empathy and compassion for very progressive left Democrats who are very angry and don't feel they have a voice and want their party to speak up and do something. And I think for those folks, that's fine. I'm not sure that's the market you wanted to hit last night if you're the Democratic Party. We'll come back.
No, but 100%. But that's the congressman's Al Green from Texas, and he's done, and he'll do it again, I guarantee.
We'll come back and do a little fact checking more with Pat and Trygve, Zomers and Todd. It's the All Balls Show in Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions.
Which, by the way, what is squat about that now?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that now?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that now?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Vell Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader, is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Stealing old outhouses from one-room schoolhouses in Chippewa Valley and putting them on Lake Wasota just to see when it'll fall through. That's entertainment every morning on Up North News Radio from 6 until 8. Patrick Kreitlow, along with us from beautiful Lake Wasota, Travie Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital. Do you guys, now, I've been to Rhinelander. I've been
never
to Rhinelander.
Would do that.
I've been to Rhinelander.
Haul something out on the lake because I'd have to go out there. And I firmly believe in Murphy's Law that I never go out on the ice. And the one time I would go out there would be the time I go through. So
right.
So yeah. I have to plead innocent to any charges.
I've been to
hauling outhouses out on the lake.
I've been to Eagle River, where every year I think it's the Lions Club takes they take all the engine and all the oil out, but they take it like the shell of an old car. Yeah. Thank you. And they put that on the ice, and then they raise a lot of money, and you pick what day that's going to fall through the ice, and it's attached to a rope or a chain, right. So they pull it out right away, but. Yeah.
Do they still do that? I thought even that was being, shall we say, poo-pooed by the authorities. But no, if they're doing it all right and it's not causing any damage, I'm all for it.
Just some fun.
Honestly, just letting it in the bottom of the lake isn't the worst thing. It provides fish crib. Exactly. Yeah, it's a protective place for little fish. They become big
let's
fish.
Let's do that. Can we do that?
Like Pat, pull out of the water.
No, you know, eventually that is going to have cyber trucks.
Yeah.
All these cyber trucks that can't stand getting hit by a Nerf football are eventually all going to become fish cribs.
As long as you take out the battery first.
Yes, please. I don't want to get into a big long conversation about this. We've had some texts on here not liking my take on some of this stuff from the presidential address last night. One caller, Steve in Milwaukee, says, "Why didn't they kick out Marjorie Taylor Greene? She was even worse for Biden." And yes, I don't agree with anything that they did to Biden either. Yeah, the congressman, Republican guy who yelled out liar to Barack Obama. I don't agree with any of it. I'm an institution guy. I like decorum. I like respect. But the difference is, if you really want to get down to it, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Bobart yelled out something like 10 seconds and they stopped and they sat down. This guy last night continued on. Johnson gave him a warning. He continued on. And you don't respect the rules of the institution, and that's it. So that's the difference. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into that. Okay. Last night, lots of misinformation. I want to point out a couple of these things because they're all over the internet, all over Fox News. One of the lines was on transgender mice. Here's the fact check on that one.
$8 million for making mice transgender. This is real.
All right, so this was another one of those if Trump said it, it has to be true moments. But Trump actually misspoke here big time. Because what Trump should have said is scientists were making mice transgenic, not transgender. And as you can see here, transgenic mouse technology has revolutionized virtually all fields of biology and provided new genetic approaches to model many human diseases in a whole animal context. So as you can see here in the transgenic mouse model, scientists add human cells to mice so that when they introduce diseases and study them, these mice and their tissue react more like human tissue. And that's how we end up at a University of Cincinnati website where they're talking about their $8 million study to continue gene-environment interaction research. So yeah, Dunny, instead of stopping research where you say it was transgender mice, you actually stopped research that might help us figure out how diseases affect the human body.
There you go.
I have nothing to add to that.
But I think it's good to play this because it's one example that was repeated tens, if not dozens of times last night, probably bordering 100, where you take something, I don't even want to say it's based in fact. It's based in wording, I guess. And then you bastardize the word and make up something that's completely different.
And along those lines, and now it's time for me to get in trouble with Wisconsin Democrats everywhere.
All right.
There is a lot of good things to say about Bill Proxmire. A lot. Mm-hmm. But I will also contend that the Golden Fleece Award for wasteful spending oftentimes missed the mark. For that very reason, that there are things that sound silly on their face because you're not the scientist who has figured out that, hey, if you study this thing through mice, this is going to improve human health. But when you only look at part of the story, of course it looks like wasteful spending. It's why the critics of federal spending always have a leg up. Because it's always easy to pick something and go, how ridiculous is this? Because they're not going to sit through that report you just played about how that's actually valuable use of my tax dollar so that I or maybe my kids or grandkids will be healthier than I am someday.
And it had nothing to do, to be clear, with making mice transgender in any way, shape, or form.
Icing on the cake. Right. Icing on the misinformation cake, basically.
Trigby?
Well, what it's doing is it's playing on the fact that, you know, people are addressing their politics through habit, through they're not really consciously thinking about what he's saying. They're just like, yeah, I can see the government doing that, right? So it becomes a reinforcing mechanism. If you actually think about like his riff on Social Security and you consciously think about it, you're like, okay, this is ridiculous, but there has to be more to the story. Right. Yes. Like maybe they never got the death certificates or whatever. But that's not the point of it. The point of what he's doing with this, which is what he's been doing for a long time, war on Christmas or whatever, find something that seems so outrageous, say it, even though it's not grounded in truth, and understand that it's just one thing that people, they aren't going to think about the fact that he said transgender mice and it's not transgender mice. What they're going to think about is, yeah, that's pretty much what the government does, waste my money. And they may not even be able to cite that specific. So,
and what that does,
it really was a psychological attack.
It takes away then what people could have been talking about over these past few minutes is the AP obtaining an internal memo this morning showing that the Trump administration is planning to cut 80,000 jobs from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Got it that, in my hot little hands.
That is a hot little hand there. Look at the steam coming off that thing. That is the thing that really is going to impact people more than any little bit of rodentia research that we could be talking about. And that's all intentional, like you said, Trigg, from Trump to distract from real world matters like this.
And here's the thing that people have to keep in mind who are listening. For these guys, you know, and this is what they're missing. One person's veteran husband who has PTSD and needs help is apparently another man's waste, fraud, and abuse.
Right.
And that, if you're not thinking about it, and part of what Democrats have to do is they need to personalize this far more and be appealing to the fact that most Americans are going to stand with the vet.
Come back. More Trigby. Thank you, Patrick. Every morning, 6 to 8, Up
you
North
betcha.
News Radio. Have a good week. More Trigby, Social Security, whatever else we can talk about, and democracy on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Tariffs are in place and they are going to affect a lot of the U.S. ag commodities. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to give some insight as to what the markets have been doing leading up to these tariffs, as well as how the tariffs may impact each of these markets.
Number one buyer of U.S. corn right now is Mexico by a long way compared to other countries, as Mexico's been aggressively buying U.S. corn realistically since we put our low in August. You know, so, but again, dairy products, again, we're going to see fairly big impossible impacts there. Again, the milk market really has been on the slide the last couple of weeks again. So, again, probably pricing a lot of this in at that time frame. And then same thing in the hog market, too. We saw a pretty big drop in the hog prices. Factor down about $20 off of its most recent high just because of that impossible impact of those tariffs here. So like I said, maybe the market's priced a lot of this in.
Heinberg says that there is a possibility of huge detriments to the U.S. ag economy moving forward with these tariffs. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how those markets are moving midday on a Wednesday. It looks like they are trying to rebound a tiny bit today as cash corn is up 1 3/4, up 4.53 and a quarter, and new crop corn is down 2 at 4.44 and 3/4. Cash soybeans are up 7 3/4 at 10.06 and 3/4, with new crop soybeans up 3 3/4 at 10.07 and a quarter. May wheat contracts are up 8 3/4 at 5.45 and a half, with July wheat up 7 at 5.58 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts are seeing slight gains as April contracts are up 4 cents at 17.63 a hundredweight, and May contracts are up 12 cents at 17.90 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A winter storm warning is in effect until 3 o'clock. With snow winding down this afternoon, the winds are whipping, gusting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures tonight down to the teens. It's also blowing and drifting some of that snow around, making it hard to see. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
said her name was maybe. The only thing that can stop him from the blue line to the net is a Zamboni. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to Lincoln Project and a River Falls native, joins us from his home in suburban Washington, D.C. A great hockey player, a great winter guy. That was that's on your when you put that on your playlist, there's nothing that can stop you.
Oh, I got Natilly the other night. I was going to the net and got lassoed.
Oh,
and
no,
I
really?
Was not happy. No, right around the right up high.
Oh man.
And I got up and I was miffed.
I bet
didn't
you want were.
To fight, though.
All right.
That's the problem with men's league hockey. Everybody's so nice. He's like, I'm so sorry, dude. I didn't mean to do that. And I wanted to knock his head right. off.
You were looking for some aggression. Pissed. Right.
Yeah, I was ready to go. And then he's like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to do that. And I'm like, it's okay.
That's fun. That's fantastic.
We're friends now.
Yeah. All right, so talking just a little bit more about this speech by Trump last night, joint session of Congress. And look, I know we're getting some stuff on the text line or whatever. I know, and to Kreitlow's point, yes, this big story just broke about an hour ago that the Trump administration now saying that they plan to cut 80,000 employees from Veterans Affairs, and that's 100% important. We're going to talk about it. But I also believe that from traveling around the state, and I know people get fed up with Facebook. I am 55 years old. I'm a Gen Xer. People my age are all over Facebook. And this kind of stuff, this disinformation that Trump put out last night, it amplifies on Facebook. And when you don't correct it, when you don't hit back, that's when you lose. And that's why it's a whole other kettle of fish, bottle of wine, cup of coffee. That's why you can talk ad nauseum and give people the facts on Schimmel, on this Supreme Court race, and people look at you glazed eyes, they look at Facebook, and they say, he's the one running against that catch-and-release Crawford, right? Because that's the stuff that sticks. And if you don't correct it, it sticks.
Is that, I haven't seen the catch. I haven't been on Facebook. I hate to tell you this, but I'm trying to take a break. But
no, it's on TV and Facebook.
Is it catch and release Crawford?
It's all over.
Our friend and colleague Jane Matinere did a great job on Matinere on Air. She had Judge Crawford on the program, I think, last week, right? And Jane teed it up and said, Judge Crawford, there's a lot of different disinformation out there about you right now, isn't there? And she whiffed. She didn't really even address this stuff. And now, and there was a woman, calm down, Todd. There was a woman from my hometown, Richland Center, who listens to us on WRCE. I don't know who the person is. And she called up and she said, look, I am a liberal voter. I have a row, row, row t-shirt, like ROE. But she said, when are these guys going to address these catch and release Crawford TV ads? Because that's all we're seeing out here. And that is from a rural progressive voter. And people want to get down and nuanced about Brad Schimmel's legal record. It doesn't work. Trigby, you've won a lot more races than I have. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right. The reality is, at a foundational level, which is what I've been, you know, catch and release Crawford. She's with us. No, they, them, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all the same attack. At a basic psychological level, it's all the same attack. And it's about culture. But what it's really saying is it's really saying she's not one of us, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way that you can respond, and I think when we had Judge Crawford on, I tried to get at this. The only way you respond to that in a place like Wisconsin is you look directly at the camera and you say, like Tammy Baldwin did, Eric Hovde is lying. You know who I am.
Right.
Here's the facts.
Because
people don't like to be, people in places like Wisconsin don't like to be played for fools. And assuming that there is a far great bigger story, she's going to have to go on camera, look to the camera, and speak directly to the people of the state of Wisconsin. It's the point I tried to make to her.
And she did, to her credit, She has a response ad like that now out there, although I've only seen it in the wild once. Good. But then she muddies it at the end by saying something about personal responsibility. And it just, like, I don't know.
Feels like it's trying, like, the first half of it is great, where it does the same thing Tammy Baldwin did. It has her addressing the audience and saying, look, you've seen these ads, they're lies. But then she doesn't actually give the reason they're lies.
Right.
And so it kind of feels like a diluted message instead of directly addressing the problem.
Anyway, I didn't mean to go off of the whole Supreme Court race, but I guess it gets back to why I wanted to spend some time talking about the lies from Trump last night on the dais, or at the dais, in the House chamber. Another one of these is, and I promise, I'm sorry, L.A. Tom, when Mark, hang on there. We're going to get to your calls in a second, but I want to make sure we get this out. This is, I want to play a little bit of this. This is addressing the Trump lies last night on Social Security. Here's a fact check from CNN.
The president talked at length about millions of people being listed as alive in a Social Security database, even though they're obviously dead. Listen.
3.9 million people from ages 130 to 139. 3.5 million people from ages 140 to 149. And money is being paid to many of them because it just keeps getting paid and paid and nobody does. And it really hurts Social Security and hurts our country. And one person is listed at 360 years of age, more than 100 years older than our country.
I've spoken to conservative experts about this claim, and they've noted, Jake, that the president is leaving out something absolutely critical to understanding this issue. Here's what he failed to explain. These numbers are not the numbers of dead people who are actually getting paid Social Security checks. Trump was referring to a legitimate problem with some deaths not being marked in the Social Security database, but that doesn't mean people listed as being 150, 200, 300 are actually getting money, and that's because Social Security already has a system in place to automatically cut off people who are listed as being 115 or older. Now, 2 years ago, an inspector general looked into this. She found there were about 19 million people 100 or older who were not marked as deceased. But critically, she also found that only 44,000 of these people were actually receiving payments. And one conservative expert told me even those 44K are likely legit payments, since at the time there were about 86,000 living Americans age 100 or older. Now let's listen to something the president said about the war in Ukraine.
I think that's enough. I want to get the Social Security part out there. So as it turns out, nobody's getting checks. I mean, there are systems in place. It just has to do with some of the writing and the code or whatever. This stuff is still listed, but nobody's getting checks who are long since dead. But Trump spins this trick, V, in a way to gin people up. And if we don't put out the truth, then it goes untested or unchecked.
Well, yes, there's that. But what it really is, I mean, It's a classic play of throw it out there, reinforce people's habit or preconceived narratives. This is government's out of control. There's all kinds of waste, fraud, and abuse. This is Joe Biden's fault. Democrats, they or them or the others don't care about this. We do, right? Mm-hmm. And move on. It's, you know, it's the war on Christmas, Christmas tree.
Let's get to calls quickly, 855-752-4842. Mark and Perdisac, you've been hanging on. I appreciate your patience. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous you had to confront these lies. What really got me is you just talked about the 80,000 people that are going to cut out of the VA. I see all these commercials on television raising money for, you know, the Wounded Warriors Project and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, why the heck aren't we supporting these guys through the VA anyway, supplying these services, which they have earned through their service to the United States, the injuries they have sustained, is we, the taxpayers, should be footing that bill through the VA. Mm-hmm. And for them to be cutting 80,000 workers out of this, that's cutting services directly away from our veterans. And damn them for doing that kind of thing. It just disgusts me. And we got to call it out as disgusting as it is, because they are betraying our service people that have given their health to our country. And we're doing this kind of thing. And that's got to be called off for what it is, because it's just, we see Donald Trump, you know, Corporal Bone Spurs, who never served, you know, for anybody but himself. And Elon Musk trotting around out there, who has never served anybody but himself. Right. It is just disgusting.
up against the clock. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Want to get to a caller in or a texter rather in Chippewa Falls. I think it was Ann talking back again about the Schimmel-Crawford Supreme Court race. Is it going to be a debate? Couldn't she say something then like Tammy Baldwin did? Yes, Ann, you're absolutely right. Listening to WCFW Chippewa Falls coming up here in a couple weeks, I believe the 12th, Wednesday, the 12th of March, there is a Supreme Court debate that will be a big one, as right now it is the only debate between the two before the April 1st election. Let's go quickly to where we go to L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom is back on the line. L.A., thanks for your patience. What say you?
Yeah, I would just like to say that, first, everyone needs to go look at Bernie Sanders' response last night to the speech, because he really hits back and he tells the truth, and he doesn't focus so much on what Trump is doing, but he focuses on what we should be doing as almost a shadow government, which I know Trigby and I have talked about before. It's very, very important that the Democrats show what it is that they are actually wanting to do for the country. We all know Trump is a liar. So I don't know why we need to go through point by point, because what he does, if he goes and throws out, and Trigby, maybe you can answer why this is in the human brain, but why is it that you throw the most outrageous thing out there that you can possibly think of? People repeat the most outrageous thing all day long, whether it's a joke or serious. They say it's a lie. But by then, it's already made its way around the whole country. And, you know, he probably meant to say transgender just so he can get his little word in transgender somewhere in there as well. So, again, I'm repeating it even, and it's bad. So why is it that human beings go and repeat these stupid, outrageous things over and over again before repeating things like Medicare for all, taxing the billionaire? I would just like to know why you think that might be. And I also would like for everyone to really check out Bernie's response, because he is nothing more than an FDR Democrat, and FDR got elected by more people, in terms of landslide elections than anybody.
Appreciate the call, Todd.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate that.
Trigby, got 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reinforcement mechanism, right? It really isn't about whatever it is that's the specific. It's about the bigger narrative and reinforcing that narrative as an example. And part of us as humans, every time we say that or repeat it, and that's what they know, it's reinforcing in our own mind that narrative. Okay, there's all kinds of waste, fraud, and abuse. And the truth of the matter is, it's not like Elon and the Doge people are the first people to take a look at it. And it's not like there probably are things that could be cut. But the reality is, there are lots of smart people, Simpson Bowles, the inspector generals. There's all kinds of mechanisms that have been set up to try and weed these things out. And what you have to ask yourself is it those examples, are they true? Or is it probably, if something's so foolish that it seems like it's probably not the full story, it's probably not the full story.
855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Wisco. Paul, Wisco, you got 1 minute. It's all yours. What say you?
Okay, thanks for taking my call. My time in Tribune. I want to say something about the Supreme Court race. You should never, never lose to Schimmel with all his ties to Walker. I don't know if the same people are running her campaign as Della Barnes' campaign. That was a disaster. Look what Johnson did to him. And it's the same playbook over and over and over again. By the time the election was over, when Mandela, you thought he was the guy driving the car in the parade. So get on board here. Let's get going with this campaign, because you can't lose to the Schimmel, for goodness sake. So I want to rant on that one today, because I want fair math. And thanks for having Kirby on. Bye.
Trivia is always popular. The phone lines are lit up. Come back. We'll take your calls in order they were received. Trivia Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Come on back. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media. You should come, you should
come, you should come. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock, CBS, ABC News coming up. What's worse in hour 2 as well? Drigby, what do you do? Do you stay around and there's like 15 minutes?
I might hang around for what's worse.
All right. Oh, cool.
You know what? Well, if somebody could text or call in and tell us what's unique about that song that we just heard, mm-hmm. Sister Christian by Night Ranger, I would be amazed to see if we
all
can.
All right.
If someone can tell me what's unique about that song,
call in or
there's something unique about it.
Really? All right. Fantastic. Well, that's great. Yeah. We'll look forward to nervous anticipation of that. Talking kind of simultaneous current events right now, the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin between Crawford and Schimmel. Also, some of Trump's comments last night. Jim listening in, a brand new texter. We appreciate that, Jim, from beautiful Campbellsport. Campbellsport had a great wrestling team at one time.
Yes.
Jim in Campbellsport says, "Todd, I agree with you. Schimmel is trying to brand Crawford like Trump and Hovde. It plays to the lowest denominator. She needs to be direct with the voter. I will always say it needs to be non-political." Thanks, Jim in Campbellsport, listening on WAUK. We appreciate you very much for listening and being a new caller here. Also, Sean in Richland Center on WRCE saying, "Trigby told Judge Crawford exactly how the campaign would be run against her. She glossed over what he said, and here we are. Makes me think maybe she isn't qualified." Well, I don't agree with that. I think she's very qualified.
No, I don't agree with that either. She's qualified.
She's very qualified. Mary in Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX, says, "Where is Ben Wickler with the Supreme Court race? Has he given up since he lost the DNC chair?" No, I don't think so, Mary. I think maybe he was distracted, but he certainly has not given
Ben
up.
Ben is working. I know for a fact Ben is working his
butt
again,
off.
Posterior off to get him, her through.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the annals of problems, Ben is the
he's doing least, great. I mean, he's actually won races.
He's not a problem. He's the one. He might be the best asset that the Democrats in Wisconsin have.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Cam in Appleton. Cam, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Cam.
So, Travy, I remember
when I first tuned in, I guess, to the election night in 2024, I sat and watched for like pretty close to the majority of it. I watched your face grow. I don't know if gaunt is the right word, but you to me, from what I hear you, have a very analytical brain. I would say, and I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you or anything. I'm just saying from the glimpse I've seen of you, you have a very analytical brain. And I remember seeing like a scared, surprised look on your face. And the numbers weren't matching up. I really like the Lincoln Project. I like their ads, but I feel like their resources are better put towards groups like the Election Truth Alliance right now. I'm not saying take away money from Lincoln Project. No, it's not what I'm trying to say. It's just that groups like Election Truth Alliance need support right now because they have lawyers lined up that need to be paid, but they're ready to challenge the data that they've collected that need forensic audits for states like Nevada and Wisconsin.
The numbers added up in the sense, first of all, let me say this. I think, and we work with a lot of those groups, like Mark Elias, for example, who is heavily involved in trying to protect elections. We have to try and protect elections. I think people need to support those organizations. There's plenty of room for both. The reason, and I am fairly analytical about this stuff, the reason that election night was troubling to me was I could see the erosion. Harris didn't lose Wisconsin because, you know, the kind of voters that we targeted at Lincoln Project, which would be sort of disaffected Republicans, right of center voters who Trump was a bridge too far. Both she and Baldwin did well enough with them. What I saw was this erosion amongst younger men, even younger women to a degree. And it is true that the way that we beat Trump is going to require a broad coalition of voters. And there were voters within the Democratic base who didn't show up. And there were voters that the Democratic base, quite frankly, took for granted. And I actually have some research, Todd, coming out in the next few days about voters who invest in crypto. Mm-hmm. From Wisconsin is one of the four states. And I think you'll find we can share that via social media for people like Chad. Yep. Well, and they need to take a look at it because those were voters who Donald Trump courted and won.
There's a little tease for you. Trivia's going to stick around for a couple minutes, an hour or two, and talk about that. Let's go quickly to Troy in Mount Horeb, listening to WMDX. Troy, if you could get it in 45 seconds, please. Go ahead.
All right, real quick. First of all, Sister Christian, the guy that wrote it about another bandmate, Sister. And my question was going to be, should Democrats have just not gone? No, that's true. And should
I know it is true. I know. That was my factoid about it.
There you go.
Jack Blades wrote it about the drummer singer's sister.
What's the question? Quick, Troy.
I forgot who was who, but.
All right, the question? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, should the Democrats have just skipped the speech completely, as some people are saying?
15 seconds, Strigby.
No, they needed to be there.
They needed to be there. I agree. I absolutely agree. Okay, very good. Come on back. Trivia's going to stick around for hour two, talk a little bit about some new research in Wisconsin on voters. And also, he wants to play along with What's Worse. So come on back for that. Zobbers, Trigby, All Ball on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday, we talk to State Senator LaTanya Johnson of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and we meet new State Assembly Representative Russell Goodwin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House could be wavering some on tariffs imposed on Mexico and Canada. Kelly O'Grady of Money Watch.
It does sound like there are tariffs that will remain, but there might be certain sectors that would be exempt. The auto industry has been particularly called out.
On Capitol Hill, there's a hearing on sanctuary cities. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says fears over deportation cause more problems.
When there is trust between cities, residents, and the police, undocumented immigrants come forward to report crimes to local law enforcement and provide information that helps the police solve those crimes.
Powerful storms are sweeping across the country today. Heavy snow in the Midwest, in the South, strong storms. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Raleigh, North Carolina.
This is a possible tornado day or a straight line Wednesday. You could have damage from either one, and we have seen both of those throughout the path of this storm.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.